Can you hear me? Ladies and gentlemen, in our rich industrialized countries with our developed healthcare systems, generally speaking, we would take it for granted that if we fall ill, we will go to the doctors and get an appropriate treatment. And if you suffer from one of the more common diseases that you might find in today's society, I don't know if you have high blood pressure or diabetes or osteoporosis, then that's probably true. But I want to talk to you today about the plight of those who suffer from rare diseases and the difficulties they can face in obtaining a correct diagnosis and in having access to treatment for their problem. And I also want to say something about what the EU is doing in this area. So first, some basic information. How do we define a rare disease? Well, a rare disease is defined as one which is severe, chronically debilitating, often life-threatening, and this is very important, which affects fewer than one person in every 2,000 in Europe. So, one person in every 2,000 doesn't seem very many. Does that mean then that this is a marginal issue? It would appear to be the case. But actually, it isn't so marginal after all, because there are actually a very large number of these rare diseases. EURORDIS, the European Organization for Rare Diseases, has identified 8,000 rare diseases. So if we do the maths, that will give us a figure of some, between 20 and 30 million EU citizens who are affected by one of these rare diseases. And that means that this is, after all, a major public health issue. So, paradoxically, having a rare disease is not actually that uncommon. So, if you are unfortunate enough to suffer from one of these rare diseases, what are your chances of obtaining a correct diagnosis and appropriate treatment? Well, a survey which was presented in June of this year at a European conference on rare diseases, which took place under the Luxembourg presidency of the EU, found that the picture is actually quite shockingly bad. This was the largest ever survey conducted into rare diseases. 6,000 patients were questioned for the survey, covering 17 different EU countries. And as I said, the results were quite shocking. Apparently, 25% of those suffering from a rare disease wait up to 5 years to get a proper diagnosis, just to find out what exactly is wrong with them. And in some cases, people had waited up to 30 years to actually have their condition properly diagnosed. 40% of patients had been misdiagnosed at least once, and this had meant, in many cases, that they had received unnecessary or inappropriate treatment, including, in a number of cases, surgery, which was entirely unnecessary. And 1 in 10 of these patients had been sent for a psychiatric consultation because they appeared to have symptoms which were not explained, and this was put down to a psychosomatic condition. So part of the problem, of course, is that doctors are not appropriately trained. They don't have enough training to recognize these diseases. And because they are rare diseases, they're unlikely to have much experience. They don't see them very often. So it's hard for them to recognize these conditions. But of course, even if the condition is correctly diagnosed, that's only the first step. It isn't an end to the problem. because the fact that there are few patients suffering from these diseases means that it is difficult and costly to develop treatments. And on top of that, even if treatments are developed, because of the relatively small populations suffering from the diseases, it can be almost impossible to actually carry out the types of clinical tests which are required in order to obtain a marketing authorization to market the drugs in the EU. Because there just aren't enough patients in one hospital, in one town, or even in one country to be able to fulfill all the requirements and properly measure the effectiveness of a treatment. That's about halfway, if you want to swap. But it gets worse, because even if the drug is clinically tested and is authorized, the fact that there are so few patients wanting to take the drug means that it's not profitable. So in a situation of normal market forces, pharmaceutical companies are just not interested in producing this type of product. And it's for that reason that these treatments, these drugs, have become known as orphan drugs, because no one wants to take on board their manufacture. Now, it seems to me that because of the nature of this particular issue, it would be an area which is ripe for EU cooperation, where it might be useful to pool resources and efforts in a common cause. And indeed, the EU has already taken action in this area. In 1999, the EU regulation on orphan drugs was passed, and this provided incentives to pharmaceutical companies to enable them to develop and market these drugs to treat rare diseases, these orphan drugs. So what happens is that if a particular medicine fits the criteria and can be considered an orphan drug, and that's assessed by a special committee operating at the European Medicines Evaluation Agency in London, then if they fit the criteria to be an orphan drug, the company that's producing them can get a special 10-year patent, which gives them exclusive marketing rights for a period of 10 years. And they also have access to a centralized European-wide registration system, which means that the cost of registering the drug are significantly reduced. Over the past 5 years, then, since this regulation has been in force, at least 250 drugs have been designated or registered as orphan drugs, and at least 20 products are already now being marketed. And this is of potential benefit to some 250,000 patients. So that's obviously a significant step forward. It's interesting to note that 80% of the cases of drugs which have been studied by the EMEA committee are treatments which have emerged out of European research. So there's another benefit for Europe here. Not only are we making progress on a significant public health issue, but we're also promoting the growth of specialist businesses, pharmaceutical businesses, and biotechnology, which are helping, in economic terms, they're helping to promote growth and competitiveness in certain strategic market sectors. Further measures then on the agenda for Europe are the continued promotion of rare diseases as one of the European Commission's priorities under the research framework programmes. So European research in the area of rare diseases is encouraged and funded by the European Commission. And there's currently discussion underway about the establishment of what will be called centres of reference for rare diseases. And the idea here is that expertise on a particular disease will be concentrated in one particular centre of excellence rather than having just the odd experts scattered around in the various EU member states working in isolation. They would all come together and work in a specialist centre. At the Luxembourg conference, which I mentioned earlier, Eurodis called for the abolition of borders in the fight against rare diseases in Europe. And I am firmly convinced that this is a worthy endeavour. It certainly does seem to be an area where it's very sensible for the member states to work together, pool their information, pool their expertise, and where acting at European level, at EU level, can truly bring added value to what's being done. Thank you very much.